League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski. He's the Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Milwaukee Bucks are fresh off of a loss, a really frustrating loss at the hands of the Phoenix Suns, which we're going to talk about right here at the top. They've lost five straight games at Pfizer Forum, still getting the job done on the road, weirdly enough. Giannis Antetokounmpo is working his way back to full minutes load from an injury, and kind of seems to be back to mostly full strength, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But Jim, before we get to the big picture, I really want to talk about this Suns game. This game on Monday night, it goes to overtime. It ends on a really stupid foul call. I mean, I really just want to complain about it, to be completely honest with you. Like, it could come down to letter of the law versus just what an official expectation is, expectations for officials. But like, Devin Booker gets a foul call on a lightly tapped on the elbow by PJ Tucker when the pass was to him in traffic. It was a heave at the buzzer. It should not have had any merit whatsoever, and he was given the free throws that ended up winning the game. Suns win by a point. That game should have gone double overtime. A heck of a game ruined by a call at the end. Give me your philosophy on this sort of thing. Like, it probably is a foul if we're looking at a textbook definition, but if we're looking at that definition, we would never have actual basketball. Everything would be a foul. Every point of contact would be a foul. So give me how you saw that play.
Yeah, up in Pfizer, it's probably my live vantage point just for fans was probably not the best, because where we're seated, I would have been looking directly over the basket that he was shooting at. So I'm on this sort of downward angle to him, and the way it kind of came together in live speed from where I was, it looked like Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker kind of did the back away before Booker got it off. You heard the whistle, and it was funny because I turned and down Media Row. I said, was that a whistle for a foul? Or was that a whistle to not let the guys run off the court because they wanted to make sure there was no time, there was time left? And it was like, no, there was a foul. And to your broader point, JR, it's tough because Devin Booker's a star, right? And that guys like that, if they're affected in some way, look. There was contact. PJ Tucker didn't really say, I didn't touch him. He just thought it was a rough way to have the game end based on other officiating throughout the game. And that, I guess that's where I'll go with it, JR. I haven't covered football and pass interferences. And like, if there's an expectation of the game and it's kind of going in some way, you don't want it to change in winning time, right? And the Bucks clearly felt in that moment, it changed in winning time, and as opposed to the previous, 53 minutes and 59 seconds, whatever it was. So yeah, so on one hand, I agree with you, but on the other, I also sort of agree with a foul being called if there was one, because you'd like to think officials, that's just sort of instant instinct. They see a foul, they blow a whistle, or. I think football officials, JR, because they have to reach for the flag, I think football officials think about it. I think sometimes basketball officials just blow the whistle because it's already in their mouth. They see it. It's just kind of instantaneous. I don't know.
I know that's not a probably satisfactory answer for you, Bucks fans, but I can kind of like straddle the line there, I guess.
Yeah, no, I want to complain, because I was furious. And I guess like you brought up a couple key factors there. In the NBA, it's always been presumed that the star gets the quote unquote star whistle. I think Bucks fans sometimes feel like Giannis doesn't get his fair share because he's such an unusual player. I would say maybe that's true. I don't know if it is. I also think Chris Middleton manufactures contact as well and as often as any player in the NBA. So I'm careful not to suggest that the Bucks get the wrong end of the whistle. But there's also you mentioned the consistency. Things shouldn't change in winning time, and that's obviously a good way to look at it. I think you could also even go back to kind of what we talked about previously, where you're asking about, we were talking about resting your starters, and do you take home crowds into consideration or marquee games into consideration? And, you know, on the surface, most coaches would tell you, of course not. You know, it's all about the championship at the end of the day. But, you know, maybe should we. And same thing here, like, it completely destroys the entertainment value of a game to have it settled, an overtime game between two teams just hitting shots, you know, going back and forth, two very, very good teams, and have it settled by a free throw with 0.3 seconds left on the clock. So, I don't think, you know, no one's going to say they officiate that way. Like, oh, we got to think about the people here. That's not how they're going to look at it. It's going to be looked at as, you know, I just wanted to call the fouls when I see fouls, right? But it did feel like Devin Booker got a star whistle there at a very inopportune time, at a moment where they could have even, you know, the official could have said, I meant nobody leave the floor, right? Like you said, like that wasn't a foul. it was obviously too late. But a good showing for the Bucks to be right there with the Suns. That's two 1-point losses now to Phoenix. That is the number two team in the West. I mean, this is not a mid-level playoff team over in the West. But I'm still struggling to figure out, Jim, if this team is, you know, really truly special. I mean, they win games on the road. They beat the lesser opponents. And then they just can't seem to get over the hump. And whether that's an injury issue because, you know, Jrue Holiday wasn't healthy for a while. Now Giannis isn't healthy for a while. Or whether, I mean, there's only 15 games left, right? Like, this is who it is. This team is the number three seed in the East. They're not getting higher. They're probably not going lower. This is just what they are. And I don't know if we've arrived at that point where we can safely say, this is a team that's going to be really tough to beat in a seven-game series. Well, how do you feel about that big picture?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because we've spoken about this, JR, at various points. Going to L.A., that West Coast trip, obviously the Giannis injury change the calculus. You know, then Jrue Holiday gets hurt that West Coast trip. The game in Philly, which they won, but it was messed up because they pulled three players off the court. It's they've played these games close, yet many times they haven't won them. And it's hard because there's always an angry Bucks fan might say it's an excuse. I guess I lean toward a reason. Jrue Holiday didn't play the first game in Phoenix. They lose by one. Giannis didn't play the last 4 minutes of overtime. They lose by one. Obviously, they didn't have a full roster in Philadelphia. They come back and win. Giannis gets hurt on the West Coast trip, and we know what happens there. I don't know, Jack. Like, man, I think they're a good team. I think they can go to the finals. But I have a hard time saying they've proven that. Right? Like, it's, and I don't know, as we record this podcast, they've got two games against the 76ers at home. We'll see. Yeah, maybe Giannis can't go Thursday with this calf. You know, yeah, it was a cramp, but he said he was kind of feeling it tugging at him, you know, before it actually knocked him out of the game. He said post game, he's like, well, I don't think I could run right now. Ooh. Like, is that a cramp? Is that what? I don't know. You know, that's what today's off day, as we record this today, is an off day. Does he practice? That changes things. If they lose to the 76ers twice because Giannis didn't play, how do we feel about that? Like, you're like, oh, they can't beat the good teams. Well, guess what? Like, the league MVP didn't go. I don't know, JR. Like, it is such a weird thing because I think when they're healthy, they're good enough to beat anyone. They haven't been healthy. And out in Brooklyn, they're saying the same thing. I don't know. I get you. I could see why it's like a weird, how do we feel about it? Because they haven't been a whole team. Honestly, JR, regulation of the Suns game is the first time that this iteration of the Bucks has been together on the court since PJ Tucker went out with an injury on March 24th, since Jeff Teague was signed on April 1st. Phoenix, regulation of Phoenix. And what kind of sample size is that? Like, at times it looked great, at other times it looked like a group trying to learn how to play together. It's so interesting and also frustrating. I get it.
And frustrating for a lot of teams, and a lot has been made of the compressed schedule here and how a lot of stars haven't played full allotments. I mean, the Nets haven't had Durant and Harden at times, and the 76ers haven't had Embiid at times. You know, like, this is not, you know, exclusive to the Bucks. So that's another factor here. Like, we don't really know how the playoffs are going to go because we haven't seen any team, you know, with obviously some exceptions, but like, most teams haven't been cruising altitude here throughout the course of the season. It's been very, you know, very busy, and a lot of guys have taken stretches off, and the Bucks certainly in that situation as well. Given that, I really think we can just say this is the number three seed in the East. I know they've got these games ahead against Philadelphia and Brooklyn. I don't necessarily think the Bucks are just going to sweep through those games and contest for that top seed or that second seed at this point. Obviously they're good enough to do it. I could be totally wrong, but given that they're probably headed toward the three seed, look at the rest of the Eastern Conference for me. Tell me which of these teams you think at least frightens you, if any. You know, that you've got the Hawks, the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Heat pretty much all right there, seeds 4 through 7 at this point. And the Hornets are kind of just a game back there in the eighth spot. They're pretty healthy, 2.5 ahead of the Pacers for that eighth spot. And obviously you've got the play-in consideration there. But with the Bucks probably at this point likely to see one of those teams, almost certainly one of those teams in the first round of the playoffs, do any of them give you pause? Or do you think the Bucks are going to be able to push their way to the Eastern Conference semis still pretty easily?
Yeah, I think they could lose a game to one of those. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, Charlotte's beaten them. Atlanta hasn't beaten them. I think the Hawks will finally get their win. You know, coming off the back-to-back in Philly. I mean, that's going to be an Alex Toupin game, you know? So Atlanta will get one there. Miami's, and it's not just because of what happened last year. I think Miami is a bad matchup for the Bucks. With Bam, with Jimmy Butler, with Tyler Hero. I don't know what Victor Oladipo is at this point. If he's going to be healthy, then I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA. So the Bucks are a better team than the Heat. But I think it is a bad matchup, and that one could be a problem. That one could be the 6 or 7 games and the Bucks win. It's like, oh man, now it's on to Philly for 7 games with no home court. And then on to, like, I think anyone else they play, even Boston, look, they lost by 1 in Boston in the opener on a hell of a shot by a hell of a player. They held on to win, you know, kind of handled the first one. Daniel Tice, I guess they didn't handle him, but you know, Boston made a late run. That was probably, you know, that was PJ Tucker played just a few minutes. He hurt his ankle in that game. Boston is, you know, I shouldn't discount them. Fournier, we don't know what that's going to be. I think Boston and Miami, JR, can give them a problem. They should win a series. But then that's you're talking about it, man. 6, 7 games in the first round and then having to go to Philly or having to go to Brooklyn after that. That's not what you want, right? You want the bottom level to kind of flush out where it's a 6 seed that you can handle.
Yeah, if there's a silver lining for the Bucks not getting the top seed, I think this isn't the year that it was 2 years ago, where the 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th seeds were largely non-factors. Like when they went to Detroit, and you knew that there was a very good chance that was going to be a 4-game sweep, and it was. like I said, the Hornets at the A seed at 500, that's not a bad team. That team is going to give problems to the 76ers or the Nets. And then the Heat could very well, are just a game ahead of the Hornets. Like the Heat could be the eighth seed, and no thank you if you're the top seed in the East. You don't want to face that Miami team. I mean, the Pacers being a team that's on the outside looking in tells you kind of all you need to know about the East. It's just deeper now. So it really doesn't matter, in my mind, as much for the Bucks to get to climb higher. I don't think it necessarily benefits them here. I think it's going to be all about that matchup. I would guess they would love to wind up facing the Knicks, or I think the Celtics, like you said, might be that second team in there. Maybe even the Hawks. You know, those are teams that it seems like the Bucks could match up pretty well against. PJ Tucker, you mentioned him. He's back. He's healthy. Healthy, as healthy as he can be, I guess. And he did get called for that foul that we were talking about against Phoenix. But give me your thoughts with him back. It's so nice having him back and healthy. It's just like you said, it would be nice to see this team at full strength, because what he provides, I think, is exactly what the Bucks have needed. And it seems like, you know, when he's healthy, gosh, if this whole team could be healthy, man, it is easy to dream on what they could be.
Yeah, I think we've seen flashes of it in the little bit of time that he had played, and it was just a little bit, right? I think Phoenix being an upper echelon team was a better indication of what he can do for the Bucks, and what is that? It is the ability for Brook Lopez to go off the floor, PJ Tucker. Now, granted, Giannis also wasn't on the floor either, but PJ Tucker's down there guarding DeAndre Ayton in the post. He had the ability to switch out and play on the wing. You know, Devin Booker was kind of shadowed by Chris Middleton for the most part late in those games. Conversely on offense, you know, he hits a clutch three. You know, Pat Connaughton, again, another big three. Very similar to the Memphis game, off a loose ball. PJ Tucker open in the corner, hits a three. I mean, that's that guy. That's why they brought him to Milwaukee. And he came through and played. And look, again, that foul was, but he was in the right spot and made it hard on Devin Booker to go with Drew Holiday, and probably defended that about as well as you could. So it is a big deal. He's healthy now. He says he's good to go. And really now it's about finding the right spaces on offense. Like, I go back to the Memphis game, the second one, you know, his inclination is to run to the corner. Well, in this, I'll never forget it. He's over there, Jeff Teague's in the corner, and they're both kind of standing there, and they're like 5 feet apart. Like, Teague ends up hitting a three. So in the scorebook, it worked, but you're on film, they're like, that's not what you want. You don't want two players standing 5 feet apart from one another in the same area. So, you know, he had a turnover where he cut to the dunker spot on the baseline. Brook Lopez fed it to him. I don't think he was looking for it, because again, I think he was sort of dialed in on running to the other corner. Whereas the Bucks are like, when you're moving on offense, that dunker spot, that's part of the spacing, and they're looking to feed guys the ball. I don't know if PJ and Brooke were on the right page there. So that's where that'll change in their view, ideally, in this next couple weeks here, JR, is he can maybe add some extra spacing in that way. So, but yeah, in general, I think the Phoenix game was a good indicator for Bucks fans and the Bucks team of what he can bring on both ends of the court.
With the way that the COVID protocols are, not a lot of opportunities to talk to more than just a couple people affiliated with the team in a given moment. So John Horst met with reporters not long ago. He had a bunch of things to say. I think that might be the first time you guys have talked to him since the Holiday extension. I'm not sure about that.
No, he hasn't spoken since the preseason.
Oh my gosh, it's been that long. So give me a rundown of all the things that you guys talked about. Anything that you learned that might be of interest?
Yeah, so if you head over to jsonline.com, you'll see the three main takeaways from the press conference. Again, when you don't talk for a few months, there's a lot to go over. Some of it was, you know, the PJ Tucker acquisition, which was, you know, seems like old news, but it's new when the GM speaks. Signing Jeff Teague, he said those were targets. The roster's essentially done now, you know, in terms of that. And, you know, he kind of talked about some of the general league topics of injuries and the condensed schedule. But really the main takeaways, JR, were one, he feels that there isn't a long-term concern with Giannis Antetokounmpo's left knee injury as it currently stands, right? Like, who knows what'll happen going forward if there's a new one, but coming out of the six games in a row missed, coming out of the eight games total missed, they feel it is, he's back. It is something to manage. It's Giannis compared it to a right knee injury he suffered 3 years ago that he played through. John Horst agreed with that and said, look, it's kind of there, but it's not a long-term thing. So that's a big takeaway. One was feeling that this roster as a whole has set them up to contend for a title. He understood there's some dips, things we just talked about, JR. Maybe not playing the best defense all the time. Maybe the offense goes away in spurts, but there's enough there where they feel they can win the championship this season. And then also when you look at the big contracts going forward, there's still enough on the roster to contend next year. But finally, JR, best for last, Bucks fans will love this, I'm sure. Vote of confidence for Mike Budenholzer, a strong one. Read his full answer. He believes all of the adjustments and changes and flexibility that Mike Budenholzer has shown this year has benefited this team, is benefiting this team. And yeah, he said he felt really good about head coach Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, it's incredible to have a partner in this business that cares about winning as much as he does, that is willing to adjust and change and try things differently for the ultimate goal. I think all of us want to win. We want to win at the highest level, and we're willing to do anything we can to do it. And when the motivation and the mindset is not one of selfishness or lack of flexibility, it's a true, genuine kind of partnership where you work together and try to figure out ways to do it better. That's how you get there, I hope. And have that with coach, have that with my front office and our group, with our players, again, with the ownership and everyone. I think we constantly try to strive to be better and do things differently and improve and grow. The things that we're doing offensively, you know, Eric's written about it at different times. A lot of you guys have talked about it, written about it. Things that we're doing differently offensively is an example of that. Different defensive strategies and philosophies are examples of that. But there's examples from a player's perspective. There's examples from a front office perspective, the way that we've attacked different transactions and different things that we've done throughout the course of the year. And so ultimately, who knows if it works or not. Again, you have to be lucky, you have to be good enough, and you have to be healthy. But the mindset and the motivations behind what we're doing, I think, is awesome. That's the word I would use. It's incredible that Bud is doing the things that he's doing, and his staff are working on the things that they're working on. And it's not always easy, and it's not always pretty when you do it. And I think you start out at the beginning of the year, I don't know what the lowest our defensive rating was at one point, but probably middle of the league. Now we're up to sixth in the league. It's easy to second guess when you try to do things differently. Or from my perspective, we went out and got a bunch of shooters. Well, it's great. You know, we have the second best shooting team in the NBA. We're making the second most threes in the NBA. I think 15 a game, shooting 40%, whatever we're doing, but we couldn't guard a soul. Well, you know, you got to believe in what we're doing and why we did it, and believe in the coaching staff that continue to coach these guys and motivate these guys and push them to improve. And now we're still making a ton of threes. We're still, I think, the highest scoring offense in the NBA, and now we're the sixth best defense in the NBA. And so we're getting better as it goes on. We've got 11 new players. If you looked at our roster, if we did this last year around the same time, there'd be 11 different names on our team this year than there were last year. We had a one-week training camp. We've had a condensed schedule. We're in the midst of a pandemic. And again, we're 14 games over 500, but doing a hell of a job. This guy's, you know, I think the other night in Minnesota, he became the fastest coach in Bucks history to win 150 games or whatever it was. You know, I think maybe ninth fastest in the history of the NBA to win 150 games with a franchise. And so guy's doing an incredible job, incredible partner. Very thankful to have him.
Votes of confidence are such interesting things in the world of sports journalism. Sometimes they signal that the end is nigh, and sometimes they are absolutely at face value. I take it at face value. Like, I don't, you know, this, we could talk all day about Mike Budenholzer, whether we think that, I know there's still many who are down on him as Bucks coach, but like getting a guy better than him right now is a really tall order. I don't see where that's coming from. If they, I don't know who's going to take this team from being one of the best in the East 3 years running to being better than that. And furthermore, we don't even know all these adjustments or whatever. They could definitely come to roost. We don't know. This could be a huge I told you so moment and a huge show of patience to get through this regular season with the eye specifically on the postseason. If it comes to roost and they are the Eastern Conference champion, you have no choice but to say, okay, the whatever alchemy they had that they kept touting is like we are going to figure this out by the end. They will be right, right? And it's possible that they are right. It's possible that they are, in fact, holding a little bit back, either physically, you know, mentally, however you want to look at it, for what's to come in the postseason, because that's all that matters. And they've won regular season titles before. You don't get to hang banners for that. So that's probably where they are, right?
Yeah, unless you're the Indianapolis Colts, you can hang banners for any kind of mundane regular season accomplishment. No, you're right, though. I mean, definitely go read his full long answer there. And if you read between the lines, to me, JR, I mean, unless there's some sort of implosion with a fully healthy team, I don't see how this is one of those votes of confidence where in 2 months you're like, we're asking John Horst, okay, you said this then, what changed in, you know, a 2 week span or 3 week span? It feels like dealing with the injuries, dealing with COVID protocols, dealing with a roster changeover, really the first time the Bucks have gone to this sort of roster model, of going heavy. And I don't know whether they asked him to change or it was a collective decision to change in terms of the adjustments and approaching things differently. I mean, Mike Budenholzer was all in on it and his staff have done that. So, you know, I could see it. I could see him running it back, you know, next year with Mike Budenholzer, regardless of outcome, other than the Bucks are healthy and you've got this doomsday round one scenario where, you know, something totally happens or reverse. I don't know. Again, go read it. Read into it what you will. By all means, tweet at us at JR Radcliffe, at Jim Ozarski. Use the hashtag PFP. What you thought about John Horst's comments with Mike Budenholzer. And I don't know. That's how I read it, JR, was just that, like you said. It's a vote of confidence to going forward, not just this year, but into next. And we'll see, I guess, what happens.
Man, you mentioned a round one doomsday scenario, and it just really sinks in for me to go from Eastern Conference Finals to second round to a first round exit, knowing almost everybody's coming back next year, would pretty much set the state of Wisconsin on nuclear when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. You got the Bucks and Packers, and what that meme where they're, you know, agreeing and holding hands over running it back because the Packers are doing the same thing, bringing back just pretty much everybody that was there last year, and, you know, no need to make big changes, right? So, oh boy. Hey, let's do one last thing. Let's check in on the MVP race. I don't think Giannis is right now in this conversation anymore, partially because of his injury holding him back a little bit lately, but also because Steph Curry is on another planet and all of a sudden has sort of, in my mind, seized the reins of at least the conversation for now. I think you probably look at Jokic as the guy overall, but I don't see Giannis getting back into this unless the Bucks make an absolute surge here in the last 15 games.
Yeah, it's I mean, he'll get votes. He should get votes. You know, he's missed 8 games for injury. I mean, that's less than, I don't know what Joel Embiid's are. I think the Brooklyn trio's issues have kind of knocked them out. We've talked about this before. I'm a play, you have to play kind of guy, right? Jokic hasn't missed any games. He's to me, the guy. Denver is, I mean, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, they're in sniffing distance of the Clippers at 3. We've seen the Suns team. Chris Paul has been so good. But the Clippers and Jazz, to me, are so good as teams that their individuals are kind of overshadowed Gobert and Mitchell, Paul and Booker. It's kind of like, I don't know if they're like the one guy, whereas I think Nikola Jokic has been that guy for Denver. Yeah, Steph Curry has been on another world, but to me, you know, a 500 team that is, that's a tough one. I don't think he's been so transcendent like Russell Westbrook was that year, averaging the triple-double. It's been fun. It's been great. But to me, it's Jokic in a runaway at this point. Dame Lillard's still kind of in there. Giannis is still kind of in there. That would be my three. And yeah, it's, you know, the East, I think, you know, I take that back. Joel Embiid would be number two. It's Jokic one, Embiid two, Giannis, Lillard three ish, you know,
wow. And then love for Steph Curry and his, resurgent, his Russell Westbrook esque performance.
Nah, I'm not a guy who's, I mean, even Westbrook those couple of years ago, I understand it's an individual award, but basketball so greatly impacts winning that individual. And I mean, if Golden State even makes the playoffs, I mean, that's a Herculean effort by Steph Curry for sure. But I don't know if that would trump the play of Embiid and Jokic, who had that, and they've had the best, you know, Embiid's got the best team in the East. Jokic has lifted Denver to a top kind of potentially three seed in the West. Yeah. So I think Giannis, if he doesn't miss any games with his calf and they beat the 76ers and they beat Brooklyn, let's take this temperature again. And I think we're saying it's a Jokic Giannis race in the last week of the season.
Yeah, that could be interesting. You're right. I shouldn't completely rule out Giannis yet. That is still in front of him. The Bucks, of course, do now have these back-to-back games against Philadelphia coming up here. It's going to be a real fun time for Bucks fans playing on Thursday and then again on Saturday, both games at Pfizer Forum. I think I might have called it Pfizer Forum earlier. I'm not even sure, but got the vaccine on the brain, so Maybe I'm sure I'm not the only one to have made that mistake. They will then take on the Hawks on Sunday. You mentioned that back-to-back, and then the Hornets again on Tuesday back home in Milwaukee. Before I let you go, anything else? Anything we didn't touch on, Jim, before we send you away?
No, I think it's just now we're on calf watch, you know, after the knee. You know, what was it a cramp, or was it more than that? And of course, how does that affect? Because look, PJ Tucker missed 10 games with a calf strain. DJ Augustine, way back at the start of the season, missed the end of training camp and the beginning of the season with a calf strain. It is about the bigger picture for the Bucks, which is having Giannis healthy for the playoffs. So we'll see. And of course, if he can or cannot go, you know, it's still a litmus test against the 76ers at home.
Calf watch gives me flashbacks to Aaron Rodgers in the postseason. Several years ago, a local radio station would play a little sound effect when Rodgers had a bulky calf in the postseason. Very little PTSD there going on. But we are going to have some special programming coming up in the next week or two, looking back at the Bucks' 50th anniversary of their 1971 championship. It was the last Milwaukee pro sports championship, counting the Brewers and Bucks, counting the major pro sports. Don't want to shortchange the Admirals, the Wave. There've been some titles in there, but Milwaukee has not had an NBA or MLB championship in 50 years since. So we've got a lot of great stuff planned. I do have some audio stuff that we're going to trot out there. Unclear what our timing is going to be, but you might not hear from Jim and I for a couple weeks. We'll let that play out. But in the meantime, thanks Jim for joining us. We'll chat with you again very soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Talk to you guys then. And of course, hit us on Twitter at Jared Radcliffe, at Jim Ozarski, hashtag PFP. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts are the places to find us. Thanks for listening to the Point Forward Podcast. We'll catch you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.